Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Fernando hits it in the air to deep left field. Rave is back at the wall, looking up. Gonna go! 3-run homer for Fernando Tatis Jr. His 14th of the season and the first one in a long time. As Tatis gives the pod some late inning breathing room, it is now 5-1.
Oh, those three-run home runs. Somebody on this show has been talking about them this year, the lack of three-run home runs. They sure are nice when you can get one. Fernando's blow, helping the Padres win Saturday night. And that led into another victory yesterday. Welcome into Gwynn and Chris, everybody. Good Monday to you, starting off a brand new week on San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. down at Petco Park, where the Padres play once again this evening against the Washington Nationals. And Matt Scraby alongside here in the Odyssey Palace Studios. One thing, Tony, that the Padres have done pretty well this year is winning the final game of a series. I looked it up. I actually thought their record was better than this. But they're 16-9 in the final game of a series. And those games are not any more important than the ones that precede them, except in the sense that they just give you a little better feeling moving forward. You know, when you get on that airplane for the next road trip, or you're flying home, or in this case, just finishing off a weekend and getting a win and winning a series after having lost the previous three. That victory yesterday kind of qualifies in my mind as not imperative, not in must win, but feeling a whole lot better because they got it.
Sorry, my mic wasn't on yet there.
Come on, Scraby.
I mean, no.
That's not Scraby.
Hey,
that's
hey,
me.
Hey.
That's me, Scraby.
The guy takes 3 days off and forgets how to turn on the microphone.
I got you. It was me. I apologize. Yeah, no, I don't know if I believe any of that. I think ultimately the fans are the one that feel better about the last game of the series and them winning it. I think the Padres feel good about taking 2 of 3 from the Royals, and you try to build on that. You got back-to-back series where the teams are either not playing well, talented but not playing well, or talented and not playing well. I think both of these teams kind of match that description, right? Kansas City now, the Nationals coming in. It was nice to see them figure it out a way to win that game yesterday. That shout out to Kansas City's manager for taking out Seth Lugo.
Thank you so much.
we appreciate you.
Yeah.
He was tying us. Yes. He deserves a round of applause. He was tying us up in knots. And I think he let us off the hook by taking
I don't get
Seth,
this stuff. I mean, we see it all the time around baseball. It's the analytic thing, Tony. You had two left-handed hitters coming up. You have to bring a left-hander in. Only you don't when Seth Lugo is completely in command of that game. You're absolutely right. That was the best news of all. And, you know, Mike Schilt, who, you know, gets his share of criticism because he doesn't have a good feel for this team sometimes. He, too, goes to the bullpen too early, especially when the Padres end up losing the game. He doesn't have enough fire. His team doesn't care. You know, we've heard all of these things. One thing we don't seem to hear about is when he has a right feel for a situation, and he decided yesterday that he'd rather have Julio Iglesias face a tough right-hander in Urseg of the Royals, who came out of the bullpen to face him, than go with Cronenworth against a left-hander, because they would have kept the lefty in to face Cronenworth.
Yep.
And Mike Schilt made the difficult decision to pull his all-star second baseman there in that spot, make Kansas City make a move, And Iglesias came through. I mean, look, that two-out, two-run hit, they're not winning that game without that. And, you know, Mike Shildt does push the right buttons quite often, and I think it's nice to point out when he does, because all the rest of you out there point out when he doesn't.
Right. And so, you know, it was a couple days ago in L.A., he did the same thing in like the fourth or fifth with Maldonado.
Right.
And it didn't work out. He ended up, Iglesias ended up making it out. This time he comes through, and that's kind of what managing is all about. You're going to push the same button. Sometimes it's going to work. Sometimes it's not going to work. And that's the way it goes. You hope that it works more often than it doesn't work. Because eventually you'll stop pushing that button if it doesn't work. But as long as the percentages are in the favor that you feel comfortable pushing it, that's what's going to keep happening. I've said this for a while now. I think Jose is in the perfect role right now. And anything more is probably too much. Anything less is probably not enough. I think he's right in the perfect spot. He's getting those spot starts. I think he's just much more productive in these pinch hit roles when he's not playing every day. It was a great call by Mike, and paid dividends, because the moment Iglesias came, I mean, he shouldered all the offense from that point on.
Right, yeah, he drove in the winning run as well in the bottom of the ninth inning, and he also made a wonderful, beautiful relay throw home that pegged old Waters trying to score there in the top of the ninth inning.
What the heck was that?
Leading to a little dance-off between Waters and Elias Diaz.
It was like the
Diaz.
Oklahoma drill.
Real quick, I want to talk about that real
quick.
You were talking about Mike and, you know, comes to some of the critics. Those are the things that he teaches really well and that are super important to him, whether we're talking about base running, taking the extra base, or simple things that are things that we think of as simple. But a simple cut and relay and the execution of that at cut and relay is something these dudes or this staff holds very high. And we've seen it executed on multiple times this year already where it's been a big play at home. That might have been the biggest play of them all right there is that cut and relay to nab my man down. And the dance-off was great at the end. was it Diaz and who else was it?
Diaz and Drew Waters.
Here's the
thing. I saw Greg Maddux trying to score back when pitchers ran the bases.
Oh, I remember.
I saw Greg Maddux try to score on the exact same play once, only he danced himself past the catcher and scored. So, you know, Diaz had to hold his ground there to make sure that he was able to get the out. But, you know, Iglesias made all the plays. The two moments in the game yesterday, I think there's three. First of all, Vasquez pitches another really good game and doesn't get anything to show for it in terms of a win or a loss. But he's won me over after the first 2 months of, you know, sweating out every pitch he ever threw. Now this guy has been coming through time and time again. So let's say that. Secondly.
Real quick, before you go to number two, I want to comment on that too. That's another thing, right? To me, it's clear that there's been a plan of how they wanted to have Vasquez progress. And it seems like in this one, it was like he's reached the stage now where he's shown them enough where he's comfortable to be able to allow him to continue to go when he's throwing the ball that well. It was nice to see him get to seven and really do his thing yesterday.
Yeah, really enjoyed that. But he wouldn't have made it to seven, I don't think, had, you know, that lousy shortstop we have. Had he you know that guy. I don't know his name. But
the guy who had eight straight?
Right, that guy. He went up the middle on a play and caught a ball in center field and whirled around and threw out Jonathan India to end the seventh inning. That was what got Vasquez through seven innings, because I don't think Vasquez would have been allowed to face Bobby Witt Jr. for a third time. And oh, by the way, that lousy shortstop we had also hit the double in the ninth inning that put the winning run into position. And, you know, he also had eight straight hits, which almost tied the club record, right? Nobody'd ever done nine. So it's nice to see Xander finally get a little. He's not getting any love, I don't think.
He's definitely not getting any love.
But he's at least getting some things go. You know, he's starting to, you know, have a nice hot streak here. And I'm happy for him because nobody has been bad-mouthed more than him this year. So, but the other play that was made was, we talked about Iglesias. Jackson Merrill got to that ball, Tony, as fast and got rid of it as any center fielder could ever have done on that play. Yep. And that made it almost easy for Iglesias to just put the ball, you know, on the money, and the guy was out by 5 feet. But Jackson, what a play that was. A lot of center fielders don't get that ball in nearly as quickly.
Yeah, no, I mean, the reason why I love cuts and relays is because it's such a team play. Like,
yeah.
It does. Yes, Diaz did a great job picking that throw up from Iglesias. Iglesias made a great throw, but none of it matters if Jackson doesn't get to the ball.
That's right.
A, that fast, and B, get rid of it as that fast. So that's my favorite part about a cut and relay, is it takes like multiple guys in order for it to be successful. When everybody does their job and it comes out right, it's exciting. And so, yeah, all of them played a part, but yeah, Jackson, if he doesn't get to that ball and doesn't get rid of it as fast, it's a moot point what everybody else does.
I have a question.
Peanut Gallery.
Peanut Gallery.
What you got?
That Jack Caglione catch of Jackson Merrill was incredible. So I know that Tony wasn't there yesterday, but I know you were there when Fernando made a similar catch. Which catch was better? You know what I'm talking about, Chris?
I'm trying to remember.
I just hope he didn't step on the wall like the Oakland or the Athletics
guy
did. Because you took that one away from him.
I didn't do anything.
You did
so. You always blame it on me.
I can't. You know what? It's hard. I don't. That's a tough question because I can't visually see Toddy's right now the way I can see
Jack Caglione.
Caglione's from last night. I'm not even going to lie. I was listening to it on the way home from Norco, my third trip there this weekend. And Jesse and Skin's calling it. And I wanted to believe that they were giving him too much credit. So I got home, and I put on the replay.
Yeah.
And when Trey put it up on the TV and I got to see it, I was like, oh, dang. Like, that was legit. Like, the timing. And he wasn't just like a little bit over the wall. His whole forearm was up above that bad boy.
He's 6'5". I think that helped a little bit.
Oh, okay. That makes a ton. Okay. I didn't know he was that big.
Let me just confirm that.
I'll tell you
sure
what, dude. He got to the wall, and the timing of that, regardless of how tall he is, was exceptional for a guy who has never played in the outfield.
Yeah, like, dude, I guarantee 6'5", 250.
Yeah, well, I guarantee you, Jackson.
He's 6'5", 250. He didn't move like that. I would have 100% maybe given you the 6'5" part, but he didn't look like he was 250 the way he was moving to that wall.
I guarantee you, Jackson.
That
Merrill
was extremely impressive.
Jackson Merrill did not like the timing of that. He could use that home run, but he had to. They had nothing left he could do. All right, you heard Tony talk about driving to Norco 13 times this weekend, but who drove more? Tony or I will settle that issue when we come back. Also, we have a new NBA champion, and we have the Padres going back at it tonight against the Nationals. Stick around. Gwen and Chris just underway.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
2:18 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. Padres begin a 3-game set against the Nationals. Some old faces back in town today.
Yes,
don't bring it up.
What did you call it, Tony? No, we can bring it up because it's
there.
We got
to bring it up. They're literally here.
How can the Nationals come to town without you thinking about it? But I also think people have the wrong narrative, to be honest with you. Yes, C.J. Abrams. James Wood is incredible right now. Gore has been really good, although he's only won 3 games because he's on a lousy team. So they got the, you know, what did you call it, Tony? The Padres starter kit. that we gave them?
No, the stimulus package.
Stimulus package.
Padres stimulus.
Yeah, there you go. The Padres stimulus package. They got that. But, you know, it's one of those sliding doors things. Remember that movie where if one thing doesn't happen, the whole world goes in a different direction?
The butterfly effect.
Right. So, you know, the Padres ended up trading Soto after that. And, you know, we have Michael King and we have Dylan Cease and we have a team that's, you know, hopefully going to the playoffs and they don't. So, you know, this whole notion that, well, we gave these three guys away. I don't think that's the. I don't think that's putting it in the proper context. Do you?
No, absolutely not.
Right? Listen, I mean, but that's what people will have you believe, right? They'll say, "Well, we just gave these guys away." There's a story in the paper today. They say the Padres could use James Wood in left field, but they don't have him anymore. Well, yes, they also wouldn't have the same team that they have now.
Right? No, they could definitely use a James Wood in left field, but James Wood wouldn't be able to make the, you know, the growing pains that he was allowed to make over the last couple of seasons on a playoff contending team. Like, they just wouldn't have been able to do it. Mackenzie Gore's another one. I mean, he was, I think him and CJ were obviously in the big leagues and closer to that, but at the time when they were traded, they couldn't be contributing members to a team that was going to end up going to the NLCS. I remind you of that because that was all that year.
Yeah.
Right? And it didn't end up working out. And listen, again, we lost our owner in Peter Seidler. Who knows how the Soto thing would have gone had he been around at that point. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, it's fun to look at the young men who are playing really well for the Nationals right now and be like, oh, yeah, man, we could be using these guys right now. But remember, you know, the joy you got to experience with all the rain coming down against the Dodgers in the playoffs. You remember that? You wouldn't have been able to experience that. You remember?
Probably wouldn't have happened.
No, yeah. You remember going into New York and taking that series? Wouldn't have been able to experience that. And then it came, you know, to an abrupt end in Game 6 of the NLCS, but you were literally two wins away from going to a World Series. You wouldn't have been able to experience that. And, you know, it's a chance that you wouldn't have gotten to the playoffs in 24, you know, and experiencing that way. So, listen,
Doesn't matter, Tony. We could use a new shortstop right now for sure, and we definitely need a left fielder. So, you know, whatever happened in the past is done with and over. This trade stinks now. Yeah, right. We're only talking about now. Especially if James Wood, God forbid, hits a home run or something tonight. So,
you know, I don't like to see anybody not do well. But man, we're gonna have to talk about it every day if those guys have series this next three for sure.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, it's a look. We'll see what happens.
Still waiting on a lineup, by the way. Haven't got that yet.
The Padres have been very good this year against teams with losing records. Hopefully they'll keep that up. I believe they are 24-7 after taking 2 of 3 from the Royals, who do currently have a losing record. So Padres have, you know, taken advantage of the teams that they're supposed to beat. And obviously it'd be nice to be able to do that again this week here before you go out on the road. You're only 5 games back, you know, that's only is still, you know, you're within distance there. The Giants are in between. These are important games.
5 games is nothing. We've seen the Giants do that, close that up twice now.
I don't know, Tony. John Kruk told us that you can't make up 5 games over a 90-game span. So, you know.
Maybe not.
Yeah. But, well, you know, they're all big games now. But, you know, I do remind everybody, I was thinking of this today, Tony. When they play Saturday, where are they going this week? Where do they go? Philadelphia
Cincinnati,
first?
Or
okay, Cincy
Philly.
First. All right, so Cincinnati, when they take the field, actually Friday night in Cincinnati, that will be the 81st game of the season. That will be the halfway mark. Doesn't it seem like a lot of stuff has happened and we're not even halfway through yet?
It does seem like a lot of stuff has happened and we're not halfway through the season yet.
Yeah.
That is kind of baseball, right? There's going to be so much. And the trick is not to get overly emotional about all those things that happen before we're even halfway through.
Mm,
Mm-hmm. I know it's a tough trick.
Scraby's got that. Scraby's got that mastered. I'm still working on it.
I'm way better than I used to be. I was ready to throw in the towel. You had nowhere to go but
up. You had nowhere to go but up.
I know. I'm glad I landed with you two because I would have had a much different baseball view if I didn't.
But judging by some of the letters that we're going to have to address in the Padres pen pals a little later on,
yeah,
you may have improved.
Yeah.
But a lot of the listeners are not quite there yet.
No.
They're evolving. You got to give them space to get there.
I wanted to say real quick, one person who is improving is Gavin Sheets in left field. He's been pretty good as of late.
So glad you brought it up.
Yeah, I'll take a bath on that one, but but it can change with one, you know, crazy run into the wall. So yeah, I mean,
maybe that's just like the part of the plan.
I don't know.
What is the word that fits this? The amount of hand-wringing, maybe, of Sheets playing left field. I'm just saying, it was a little bit. I understand my man ran into a wall. You know who else ran into a wall like that? Hunter Pence. Nobody tugged to move him out of the outfield. Smack dab into a wall like that. Probably even harder, because he was concussed when he came out the game. I was there to see it. So I'm just saying, like, he just needed some get his feet wet out there. He's been fine. I don't ever think he's going to be like a Gold Glover out there, but he certainly has found a way to make the easy outs.
Who's the outfield coach? Macias, is it not, Tony?
Macias handles the outfield.
Give him a lot of credit, right, for working with a guy that is not, you know, naturally in that position. And from what I read today anyway, at least telling Gavin to just – not knock down any walls, you know, make the plays you can make. Right. And, you know, if the ball's over your head, it's going to hit the wall, play it off the wall and live to fight another day.
Good advice.
And, you know, but that's, you know, that's coaching. These are the things that we don't see behind the scenes, but it makes a big difference.
It seems like an easy thing to think about. But when you're being asked to play a position that you don't play, you don't want to let your teammates down. So you are out there trying to make every play and being told by your outfield coach, hey, just make the plays that you need to make. Ball's over your head is over your head. Play it off the wall. You don't need to go get it. Like, that is kind of the kind of information, type of coaching you need when you've never done something before. Because it gives you a little comfort in knowing, okay, I'm not expected to get to every ball out here.
Yeah.
But, you know, I can still help my ball club out by just going out here and making the plays I'm supposed to.
One thing that we saw yesterday, and we haven't touched on, we have a little time in the next segment, and we will kick around the OKC Thunder. Congrats.
And we got to pay off on the driving in the next segment.
Yes, we got to tell them about the driving this weekend, because Tony and I were like two crazy drivers this weekend, and our worlds nearly collided. So we will tell you.
I knew I felt a chill in the air yesterday.
Right, about late afternoon yesterday, but we'll tell you about that. But one thing I also want to ask you was the lineup change yesterday. That was kind of a big deal. You know, it didn't factor into the game a whole lot. But Jackson Merrill batting second, Arise batting fourth. Mike Shildt said it was something he'd actually thought about before Merrill had the concussion game. So we'll talk about that dynamic as well, Tony. We have a lot of good stuff to hit on coming up.
You heard it. We got a lot of stuff to get to. More on Gwen and Chris right around the corner.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, welcome back. 2:34 is the time. Before we get into this segment, Chris Ello here, Tony Gwynn Jr. at Petco Park, where yesterday in the press box, once again, the Padres PR staff did a wonderful thing. They left a bouquet of flowers in honor of our friend Scott Miller, who passed away over the weekend. Tony, I don't like doing these things. I don't have much left in me to keep talking about these kinds of sad stories that have been popping up here recently. Bryce Miller we lost, A good friend of your dad's and mine, Kenny Davis, cancer as well. And Scott Miller, who was just on the program no more than a month ago. And I bought his book, and I've been enjoying it, the book about why managers matter. And this young man passes away over the weekend. And I honestly haven't been able to really couch this very well. I'm trying not to think about it because I don't have any, you know, I don't have anything to satisfy me. And, you know, the way I'm trying to figure this stuff out. I mean, this guy and I grew up together in the writing business at the LA Times here in San Diego. And he's gone on to do his things. And I've been lucky enough to do my things. And just shouldn't end like that for anybody. And it's so tough when it's somebody we know.
Yeah, man, I've been really struggling with the right words for this one. I mean, obviously, you know, for us who've gotten to know Scott, I mean, Scott was a pretty frequent guest on our show for a very long time. Actually, really until he got sick. We had him on quite frequently, and it's just tough to be around people and get to know people like Scott. And, you know, one day they're here, the next day they're gone. I mean, I know it's a fact of life, but it doesn't make it any easier to find the words. You know, for something like this, it's hard.
It really is. I mean, I got to celebrate my birthday over the weekend. Scott Miller, about the same age. You know, a little different. And that's just, you don't, sometimes you can't even figure out why the world works that way, but it does. And Scraby told me, said, you got to appreciate what I have. And believe me, I do. But it still doesn't make up for this. This is really tough. And, you know, there's been a lot of outpouring of support throughout baseball because he was a national figure in the game of baseball as a writer. Yeah. And,
He was just a
fabulous dude, man, to be around. I mean, he was, you know, even when he was going through treatment, and, you know, he lost all of his hair. He was still, when he was around, man, it was still Scott, man, a positive, on the upbeat, and you know, these type of things are never fun to go through. And I mean, listen, having lost a parent to this particular disease, it's just a reminder. It really is.
Jay Posner, the ex-sports editor, the Union Tribune, had a very nice tribute, as a lot of people did online this week, this weekend, to Scott. But at the end of his tribute, he said, and by the way, cancer sucks, and so does doing anything to stop people who are trying to fix it. Now, if you want to take that as a political statement, I can't help it, but you've got to agree with it.
Yeah.
Cancer has got to be something we focus on to try and stop, because there's way too many results like this in our lives, in your lives, and in everybody else's lives. Touches us endlessly.
I enjoyed seeing all of the national writers take time out of their day to mentioned Scott Miller. That's actually how I learned about it. I was on Twitter and I saw Bob Nightingale post something. I was like, this can't be the same guy.
Yeah.
Clicked on it. Yeah, it was his Twitter account. And like you said, we had him on less than a month ago. I mean, he never, you know, indicated one way or the other that he wasn't feeling good. He just said, yeah, what time do you need me? And I'm really happy that he got his book done.
His book done. Yeah, he was working his tail off on that.
Yeah, so everybody go and buy his book. Chris?
Don't just buy it to buy it. Buy it because it's good.
Yeah,
really is good.
What's it called again?
It's Skippers. And it's about why baseball managers matter. One last thing on Scott Miller, because this is what I've been thinking about all weekend. He and I stood out in the outfield one Sunday afternoon. I'm going to say, well, before I met and really started dating my wife, who's now been my wife for 35 years, he and I stood out there in left field at Oceanside High School one day on a Saturday. He said, what are you doing tonight? And I said, got this new girl I'm going out with. And trying to, you know, hope it goes well. And I was all nervous, and he gave me a little pat on the back and said, you know, best of luck to you.
Wow.
So he's been there a long time for me, and I miss Scott Miller really, really much. And his, to his wife, Kim, and his daughter, Gretchen, you know, all the strength that you can muster. So if you are the type to throw some prayers their way. Okay. Now let's talk about stuff that doesn't matter but runs our lives.
But Scott Miller would love to be talking.
He would
talking.
Probably enjoy this story.
He would love to talk about lineup changes and driving through Norco and all that stuff.
Well, here's Tony. You got to hear this because you're not going to believe it because you know Loriello as well as, you know, the rest of us. We were going to fly to Vegas this weekend to celebrate my birthday. We're going to leave Saturday morning, fly over, fly back last night. You know, quick trip. In, out, stay over one night, go to concert, come home. And we go to look at our plane tickets the day before the flight, and somehow we transposed the flights. And instead of flying from San Diego to Las Vegas, we had a reservation to fly from Las Vegas to San Diego.
Wait, real quick before you go on, did you make these reservations?
That's the first thing I
This
have
is
to.
The whole right. This is the whole critical part of this, Tony, is did I do it? Did Lori do it? She says we both did it.
Who actually clicked okay?
Wait, we were both that is cold. That's cold talk. I know what that means, Chris.
I do too.
That means that Lori messed up, but she doesn't want to take it by herself. Chris just threw his hands up in the air. Look.
I didn't say that. But as Scraby said, this is almost impossible for Lori, who's so on top of this stuff.
I was genuinely shocked at this happened.
Okay, wait, before we move on, let's all visualize two people with their hands on the mouse the same time.
Las
Vegas to San Diego? Good. Where do we pay? Anyway, so because of this, we had to end up driving. And the drive to Las Vegas, awesome. Got up early Saturday morning, 4 hours, 10 minutes maybe. We're
That's
there. Great ride and enjoyed it. The drive home is horrible.
Oh,
the Sunday drive
on
home
Sundays.
From Las Vegas is horrible. I feel for anybody that ever has to do it. I'll never do it again, I hope. Because what happens is it's the same traffic from Vegas to L.A. as it is from Vegas to San Diego. So you're just stuck waiting for the two to finally separate.
And then on Sundays, you got all the people that are half dead trying to get home, too. So
it was not good.
It
took us almost 7 hours to get home. So that's the comparison. But we did drive by.
What time did you guys leave?
2 o'clock, which is probably
late.
Not great. You know,
too late.
Yeah, too late. So anyway, we were miserable. But we did drive by. We came to the city limits of Norco, California. And my first thought was, Norco. Tony goes to Norco all the time to see his daughters play soccer. And just as I said that out loud, the soccer fields are adjacent to the 15 freeway.
Yes, they are.
And I'm driving by and I see, I don't know how many thousand kids playing soccer at one time on one of the biggest fields I've ever seen. And I thought to myself, oh, man, my guy Tony, he's in the midst of this all the time. What I didn't know is that he had been there yesterday.
Yes.
In the midst of it himself.
I was there on Friday, Saturday from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. And then shorty yesterday. Yeah, man, it was pretty extreme. But see, if you would have said, hey, Tony, I'm driving by, I could have waved.
Yes.
You might have been able to pick me out.
Very doubtful, Tony. There's 20,000 people on this field. There's 30 games going on at one time. Never quite seen anything like it. But having seen it now, Tony, you gain all kinds of credibility in my mind as a soccer dad for over and over. And Tony pointed out to us that the Norco people who run this field charge $15 per car to park
there.
So they must.
That's if you have a car. If you got an RV, it'd run you about $20.
Wow. I mean, that's got to be a ton of money.
I need
right
to
there.
Get it. I told the guys before the show, I need to buy some land and make a parking lot.
Make a big old parking lot.
Just like, hey, $50 a park here. Everybody, I don't know what I need to park here for, but I'll pay the $50.
I couldn't believe that they did that.
For real.
Yeah. Anyway, so if anybody's soccer dads have ever driven a Norco, I now, Tony feels you, but I feel you as well. All right. We got tonight's lineup out?
We do.
Yes, we do.
All right. Is it the same deal?
For the most part, yeah.
Jackson Merrill and Louisa Rice.
Yes. So then we
Except
can go
you,
into
you
the conversation.
You won't have your super sub at your disposal today.
Okay. He's in
Jose
the lineup.
Jose Iglesias is in the lineup.
All right.
Super
so we got
sub.
We got a Tatis Jr. We got a Merrill. Mm-hmm. We got a Machado and an Arise.
Right.
A Bogarts, a Sheets, an Iglesias, a Cronenworth in the 8 spot, and Diaz in the 9 spot.
All right.
Crony at first tonight.
Crony's at first
so,
today.
So Arise is the DH today.
Yes, he is.
So
he
they
gets
moved
the
things
DH
around
card.
A little bit. All right, Tony, so what do you think of this Merrill and Arise switch, which tonight will happen again for the second game?
I saw it yesterday before the game, and I texted my partner. I was like, kind of like it.
Okay.
Kind of like the idea of the changeup. I don't know that it's here to stay, but I like the idea of giving it a little bit different look. You may find out in 2 weeks that it wasn't worth it. You may find out after a couple games it wasn't worth it. But I like the idea of trying to change it up a little bit, considering that you know they haven't been scoring runs at the rate that we had grown accustomed.
Yeah. Here's the thing. This is how much baseball's changed in my mind. There is no way, no matter how much a team was struggling, 10 years ago, 15 for sure, that a team would bat Luis Arise in the cleanup spot. It just was not done. Your number four hitter had to be a, quote, power threat. But that's just not baseball anymore, is it, Tony? I mean, Arise has 3 home runs. He's not a power threat. But he is capable of driving in runs with singles and doubles. And we're seeing this now. Back in the day, Fernando would have never let off. Back in the day, Chris Bryant would have never let off. Back in the day, Kyle Schwarber would have never let off. It's Shohei would have never let off. So it's just a different world now, and I think this just underscores it to see this, you know, the way the lineup's constructed.
Yeah,
for the
I mean,
time
listen,
being.
They, you know, the leadoff guy is not what we used to think of it.
Right.
And so if you're playing your best players, your best hitters, you know, 2 and 3, that means you got to slide other guys in there. And that seems to be the two most important spots now, it seems like, in the lineup. Who's batting second? Who's batting third? Some cases, you go the extreme of batting your best guy 1, as we see what the Dodgers do. Not everybody does that, but the Dodgers are one of the teams that do. And so... Yeah, I think this is not something you would have seen as late as, 5, 6 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't know that you would have seen this. But here we are now. And listen, as I said, I like the change up for the pods, for sure.
Well, let's see if it, you know, gives a little kickstart. You know, it would be nice to win a few games. Well, we got the 3-run homer that I was kidding about earlier to win 5-1 Saturday. But, you know, and then the Royals got the 3-run homer the night before. I'm just pointing out, even though there's no way to categorize these things, they are very helpful if you can get some. And I think the Padres, you know, hopefully will get on a little bit of a 3-run homer binge here. But, you know, you've got to it'd be nice to win some 7-2 games. Give some of these pitchers a little breathing room out there. So, starts tonight. All right, OKC wins the title. It was preordained to me, Tony, as soon as I saw Halliburton go down in the first quarter.
Yeah, it was a wrap after he went down.
It was a wrap, and that's not fair to Oklahoma City in a lot of ways, because some people might say, well, you know, it's a little tainted.
Nah.
To be honest, it's not tainted. They won 84 games this year. It's the third most in NBA history for one season, so... they deserved it. They were the best team. I think they were the better team throughout the finals, with or without Halliburton. But I also think that, you know, what we said still rings true, Tony. Oklahoma City may go on to greatness, may win 4 or 5 championships and that, but those who said they're an all-time team, I think at this point we're still jumping the gun.
Yeah, no, they're not an all-time team. There's nothing that can happen now that's going to convince me that they're an all-time team.
Yeah, right.
They definitely were the best team this year from start to finish, and that's an achievement in itself because that's not always the case. I don't know that they don't, to me, belong in the all-time great teams conversation, but what they did was very impressive, especially for a young team. I mean, they had experience because they got to the postseason last year, but to have that just a 1 year of basically of playoff experience as a group and then turn that into a world championship the following year, I think that's extremely impressive. I really do.
They were tested in a couple of 7-game series, and they were able to pass with flying colors. So
SGA, you know, when it mattered, you can say what you want about the foul merchant thing, but my man, when it got to the fourth quarter in 2 games that they absolute game 7,
yeah, game four was the one. That was the one. Yeah,
he was the one that. Yeah. Looked like an MVP.
He saved them in game 4. They were that close to going down, 3-1, and he made the plays. So I give him that credit. But I just want to say it one last time, then I'll disappear till, November. How he got through 7 games without getting called for one push-off is going to drive me crazy for a while. Not one.
They started talking about it a lot more.
Of course they did, because we can all see it. I wasn't the only one.
I mean, if they're not going to call traveling, then why not call push-off?
Well, they try. Here's the thing. They don't call traveling, but every now and again they call traveling. And that's what I mean. You don't have to call them for the push-off all the time. I needed one. I had to have one, and I never got it. I was disappointed.
You're going to get a – I fully guarantee next year he is going to be taxed on that call all season long. And then the debate will be, why is he getting called for it now? He wasn't getting called for it in the close all last year.
100%.
I'm not going to debate it. I will not debate it next year. I will say it's about time, and I will say that it came too late.
So you mean that we should just vacate the Thunder title because
he pushed off? Yeah. And we're going to have to vacate all of the Bulls championships because of all the calls Jordan got, and the Lakers and every other team that's got great players that losing teams feel like got calls. So that's just the way it is. It was a shame because I think the game would have been OKC probably would have won. But I think it would have really been a much better game if Halliburton had stayed in there. Because he was on a roll at the beginning. And it was.
There's no question.
Yeah, it could have been a classic game 7 also, had he stayed
also
in there.
It also is a reminder of how much they taxed themselves during this time of year. He clearly was – that calf injury he had was a precursor to what ended up happening to him down the stretch there where he – hopefully, God forbid, he tore his Achilles. But
he did, yeah. He tore it, so we'll see.
Oh, is it confirmed?
It is, yeah. It was confirmed today. Man. Yeah, that's torn. So
that's tough.
Yeah.
That's a whole – that's all of next season, basically.
I know.
Him and Celtics guy. Jason Tatum.
Oh, that's right.
Tatum, too.
Yeah, so they're both facing.
And one more NBA news. Kevin Durant got what he wanted. Again, traded to the Rockets.
In this occasion, I'm not blaming KD. KD wasn't the one that wanted out of Phoenix. Phoenix wanted to get rid of KD because they knew the financial straits they were about to be under. And so in terms of getting, he does get to go to a team that he chose, but this time around, he wasn't actually pushing to leave until they wanted him to leave.
I think Durant being traded is, obviously big for Houston. We'll see if he can still be this good next year, but there's no reason, I guess, not to believe it. He did it all this year.
He's getting up there in age, isn't he?
He is, but he was great this year.
Yeah,
but I also think that the one guy that you didn't want Houston to have to trade was Jalen Green, and they did. So he goes to Phoenix, and he's pretty good. Young guy.
I think he's going to be great with a younger, old veteran like Booker. I think their games kind of have some similarities to it, especially when they were younger. I think Booker will be able to maybe relate to him a little bit more.
We'll see how that works. All right. Gwen and Chris coming back. Hour number two.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.